Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I called Brother Cal this week and I asked him if it would be okay if I piggybacked a little bit off of what he was going to preach on in 1 Corinthians 15. And I was going to do that. And then about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, the Holy Spirit had different plans. So anyway, that always scares me when that happens. But it usually works out good if I do what he tells me. But we're going to talk about the resurrection some more. But I want to focus on a certain aspect of the resurrection. You know, I'll not ever feel like we're getting too much of the Bible, for sure. But of all the things in the Bible that we shouldn't get to, you can't get enough of, it is the resurrection of Jesus, for sure. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's the central tenet of our faith. And I find it very interesting, I pointed out many times, I find it very interesting that there's nowhere in Scripture that we're ever told to commemorate the Lord's birth. It's His death that we're told to celebrate and remember, but we get it backwards, don't we? It's His birthday that we celebrate the most. Why do we do that? The presence, because there's no presence at Easter, I guess. Yeah, that may be right, you know. It's only His death that we're told to celebrate. Four chapters to the left of what Brother Cal was preaching on this morning over in 1 Corinthians 11, you know, Paul's giving us instructions on the Lord's Supper. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Communion, the Lord's Supper. So we, like I said, we've gotten it backwards for some reason. I think part of it is too, the world is in love with sweet baby Jesus, but it's the broken, bloodied, beaten Jesus that nobody wants to deal with. So anyway, let me just set the table for you a little bit with the city of Corinth. It was an extremely carnal city, party city. It was the Las Vegas of ancient Greece. There's an ancient rabbinical tradition that says there was a big neon sign as you walked into the city that said, "What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth." And the reason it was that way was because it was the center of the Epicurean philosophy. And Epicurean philosophy basically said, because there's no eternity, because there's no afterlife, then we all need to just eat, drink, party, and have a good time in our short time here. And part of that Epicurean mentality has started to kind of creep into the church. And that's part of what Paul's trying to address here. Now, does that not sound just exactly like the world we live in today, Beth? 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I hadn't started reading yet, but that's where I'm going to be. All right.
It's up there now.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm experimenting with my verses up there. Now I wager everybody in here believes in the resurrections, but I'm not so sure that everybody. Everybody believes in the resurrection of Jesus, obviously, but I'm not so sure that everybody understands and believes that we too will be resurrected and exactly what that resurrection means. Read with me at verse 1. Just hang with me for a minute. Verse 1 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, what's Paul talking about there? Is he talking about really, literally a house, a tent? What's he talking about? Flesh. Yeah, this is metaphorical language. Talking about his body. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he, Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, I think I've asked this in here before, and I know Brian does. Anybody else in here got reading out of the New Living Translation? Not the Living Bible, the New Living Translation. Anybody? All right. With phones, everybody's got it. I realize, I think I heard Brother Cal say this. I realize some of y'all think that John the Baptist came across the Jordan River with a big black King James Bible under his arm. But bear with me just for a minute. Just humor me. I want to read these same verses out of the New Living Translation because I really think it captures the idea and the essence of what Paul's saying. Listen to those same verses. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Anybody in here weary in their present body? Can I get a witness? We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Let me read that again. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in this earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. I love the way that translation treats those verses. I really do. Now, this may sound like a silly question. I hope I can show you that it's an important one. Tell me what was the resurrection of Jesus? I mean, how would you define it? I just crawled out from under a rock, and I stumbled in here, and I've been hearing y'all preach and talk about the resurrection. What is that? Define that for me. Huh? Jesus rising from the dead, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, it was an event in time and space, right? I mean, you could have videoed it on your cell phone, right? Am I losing y'all this morning already? Where I'm trying to go with this is, was Jesus' resurrection a bodily, physical resurrection, or was it more of a spiritual kind of thing? Which was it? It was both. What'd you say, Beth? Yeah. Right. Oh, okay. I'm losing y'all this morning. In 1892, the first missionaries that came to the Ryukyu Islands off the coast of Japan, they made a very, very gruesome discovery. They found a huge, massive grave, and they began to dig up these bones in this grave so that they could give the victims a proper burial. And what they discovered to their horror as they dug in these graves was they found, the only thing that they found were skulls. They found over 11,000 skulls. No other bones attached to these skulls, just skulls. And when they started investigating more about what was going on, they discovered that several years before, in an effort to stamp out Christianity in the Japanese Empire, the Emperor of Japan rounded up every person he could find that confessed Christ. And he didn't just want to kill them, because he had become aware of this strange doctrine that the Christians had about rising from the dead. And so he was going to solve that little problem, and he was going to cut off everybody's head, and he took the skulls 200 miles from where they left the bodies and buried them separately. That way, when they rose from the dead, nobody would have any heads. So he was like, ha ha, I fixed you Christians. Now, as evil as he was, he evidently believed something that actually a lot of Christians don't understand or believe even today, that when we are resurrected, it will be a physical, bodily resurrection, not a spiritual thing. He was wrong on how it worked, but he was right in his theology. And for those of you that have been in this class for a while with me when we were at First Baptist Church, you heard me teach on this before. And I know for some of y'all, you're thinking, well, duh, this is first grade stuff. But every time I teach on this bodily resurrection, I have somebody come up to me and say, I've never heard that before. So you old timers, just bear with me. How do we know that Jesus' resurrection was physical, was a bodily resurrection? How do we know it was the same body that he had? Yeah. Luke 24:39. We got that one. Did I give you that one, Ellen? I'm trying to do this so y'all don't have to look up Scripture. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Jesus told him, he said, look, touch me. Ghosts don't have, spirits don't have flesh and bone. I'm pretty sure they don't eat fish either. It must have, as Pam said, it must have been his same physical body, because he's still bearing the nail holes, the same marks. I made this comment a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what we were talking about. It's sad to me to think that the only man-made thing that will ever be in heaven are the nail holes and the scars that we put on Jesus. So is this an important question as to whether this is was a physical or a spiritual is this resurrection? Is this an important question for us to ask and answer? Why? Why would you say it's important? Why does it matter? First of all, a physical resurrection is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. He never mentioned anything about just a spiritual, mystical resurrection. You remember this from John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his spirit? Body. Of his body, exactly. This survey's got a little age on it now, but they surveyed over a thousand Americans, and the question was asked, do you believe that after you die, your physical body will be resurrected someday? 54% said they did not believe that. 10% said they were undecided. Only 36% answered yes to that question. That's amazing. Albert Moeller, who was the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary at the time, listen to what he said about it. He said, this survey reflects the very low state of doctrinal preaching in our churches. Ouch. He said, I am continually confronted by Christians, even active members of major churches, who have never heard this taught in their local congregation. That's really sad. Moeller said, we have the lowest common denominator Christianity being taught in so many denominations that it has produced a people who simply do not know some of the most basic Christian truths. He's not going to be able to say that about us, because we're going to talk about it. Most Americans, when asked survey questions about religion, tend to answer in very theistic ways. They tend to affirm what they believe Christianity teaches, Moeller said. Therefore, I have to conclude they simply do not know what Orthodox Christianity teaches about the resurrection of the body. That's a pretty scathing indictment, is it not? What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, absent with the body, present with the Lord. You know, the spirit goes, when we die, yes, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. But our bodies, we're going to get new bodies. We're going to have a physical bodily resurrection. Back from over in 1 Corinthians where Brother Cal was, the reason this is so important is because if we do away with physical bodily resurrection, everything we believe in crumbles like a house of cards. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are also found false witnesses of God, which is blasphemy, by the way, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Pretty much what she just said, that you know, we're pathetic. We got nothing. There's nothing to stand on in our faith without the resurrection. But somebody might say, well, physical resurrection, spiritual resurrection, what does it really matter? How would you answer that? Just as long as my spirit gets there, my body gets there, big deal. How would you answer that question? But to deny the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus is, again, to deny the very heart of Christianity. It isn't so much that we're agreeing that He rose from the dead, but how He rose from the dead. And because the enemy has always had a difficult time disproving that the resurrection happened, and they've always tried to do the next best thing, which is confuse how it happened. I had one of these in my house yesterday. Do you know what the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you how the resurrection, what it was? They'll tell you it happened, but it was a spiritual thing, that it was not a bodily thing. And a lot of Christians and a lot of believers in the church think the same thing. They've just never really thought that much about it and think it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. I just think, I don't know if they don't, they just haven't taken the time to look at it. You know, they just think, well, your body can't get resurrected. No, everybody knows that don't happen. So, you know, your spirit goes to heaven, and that's the end of it. But that's not the end of it. We got a physical, bodily resurrection to look forward to. That's what Jesus, it's all through Scripture. I mean, he was able to eat. He showed people his hands and feet, the nail prints. They grabbed his feet. If it's a bodily, physical resurrection that we're going to experience, should this influence how we treat our bodies, our thoughts, and how we treat our bodies in regards to modesty? Is the resurrection a New Testament thing or is it an Old Testament doctrine as well? The doctrine, the teaching of the resurrection is not a New Testament concept. All through God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, there's all kind of references and types and foreshadows of the resurrection. You can find them all through Scripture. Noah's time inside the ark and then his exit from the boat is a picture of Jesus in the tomb and coming out on resurrection morning, right? You got when Israel went through the Red Sea, that was, and coming out safely on the other side is a picture of us dying and going into the grave and rising again on the other side. And maybe the best one of them all was the sign of Jonah, which was what? Remember Jesus, the Pharisees said, show us a sign, show us, prove to us that you're the Savior. And what did Jesus tell them? Yeah, he said, a wicked and perverse generation wants a sign. I'll give you a sign. The sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of folks think that Jonah was actually dead inside the whale, and when he came out, he was resurrected. Now, what dead or alive, the point is, it's a picture. It was another foreshadow of the resurrection. Can you think of others in Old Testament? In the Old Testament?
Yeah, Job.
Job.
Job said, I know I shall see my Redeemer on the other side.
Yeah, that Job, that's the oldest book in the Bible, maybe the oldest book ever written. And he and it was in chapter 19, verse 26, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Ezekiel and the dry bones. Remember that? Same thing. So the resurrection of the body is not just a New Testament concept at all. Think about how it's displayed in creation. What's got to happen for a stalk of corn to grow? It's got to go in the seed. The seed's got to go in the ground, be buried, and died, and then it comes back to life. So, if Jesus rose bodily, and we just kind of more or less proved he did, is there a 6'2" flesh body somewhere right now in heaven? Where is it? Do what? Yeah. Like Brother Cal says, we believe in some wild stuff. That's exactly where it is. So this begs another obvious question they were asking. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize what time it was.
Don't worry about it.
I was going to get into the whole, they were asking in verse chapter 15, again in 1 Corinthians, in verse 35 it says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up, and by what body do they come? Isn't that what everybody wants to know? What kind of bodies are we going to have? What are kind of heavenly resurrected bodies are we going to have? What are they going to be like? Perfect, yeah. We don't really give us a lot of detail. Perfect, perfect's enough detail. I agree. I don't know where I heard this the first time. Y'all heard me mention. Some of y'all have. This is my favorite illustration of how to illustrate this. Let's say that Mike and I got a buddy we went to high school with who's got cancer. He's laying in the hospital. And he's dying, and we go and visit the guy, and he just looks bad. I mean, he's really not doing good. And Mike and I are walking out, and we're walking through the parking lot, and we might look at each other and say, dude, he just looks like a shadow of his former self. You ever said things like that, thought that? Well, that's what our resurrected bodies are going to be like in reverse. Right now, today, we're just a shadow, a very poor shadow of what we're going to be like on the other side of heaven, our resurrected bodies. Does that make sense? That's good stuff. You know, I'm ready for a new body. But it's going to be a much more enhanced, more ennobled. We'll have powers. I don't understand all the powers. I don't think we're going to be, obviously, evidently from what we see in Scripture with Christ, we're not going to be limited by time and space. Everybody says we can walk through walls because Jesus walked through walls. Scripture doesn't tell us Jesus walked through a wall to appear to the in the upper room. He just appeared. We assume he walked through a wall. But I'm just here to tell you, if in your mind you were thinking, well, when I die, my spirit goes to be with the Lord, and that's it. You're selling yourself way short. It's way better than that. Yes, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But our bodies, we're going to get new bodies, and I'm like David, I think we're all going to recognize each other, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see the new souped up and enhanced Paul Landrum. I mean, it'll be awesome. Me either. Yeah. I'll get us out of here. I know you got Easter lunches and things. I really feel like I butchered that, but it is an important doctrine that I think we need to get our head around. And more people than you realize don't understand that. Any questions? Comments? I agree. I'll close this out. Father, thank you for the fact of the resurrection. And you are our risen Savior. You have conquered sin, death, the grave. Nothing can hold you back. And because we're now in you, Lord, nothing can hold us back. We thank you for paying the penalty that we would have never, I couldn't have even begun to pay the penalty for my sin. But you paid it all and looked at me and said, you're free to go. But now, Lord, we don't, because we're free to go, we don't want to leave you. We thank you. We love you for love, first loving us. Help us to celebrate your resurrection every day, Lord, not just Easter Sunday. And just pray that you'll bring all of us back here next week, if that be your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.